So we're on this series, The Great Adventure, and we've been talking a lot about different things, and of course, the whole idea behind A Great Adventure is that you have faith, hope, and love, right? Hope was this idea of seeing the promises of life and how we experience that in God's great adventure with the beautiful promises of His Son, Jesus, and His second coming, amen? And then we talked about faith, this idea of faith. How do we respond in life's challenges? Because life is so challenging. I don't know about you, but it just seems like the more I think I got my life together, the more challenges come my way. I don't know if that's your story, but that's my story. And how we respond to those challenges change the whole direction of our lives, right? I mean, we respond properly. God blesses us and takes us on a journey that is different than one where we're like, hey, we're going to rebel and we're going to reject. And God's like, listen, I'm going to keep giving challenges to you in your life. And I just said that knowing that I just told you that life seems to be sending me more challenges. So I thought maybe I shouldn't have said that. I do know this. The challenges that come to my life sometimes are to correct me. Did you know that? There's no question about that. But this last one we're going to talk about, this idea of love. Wow. Love is seen in our worship and our relationships while living out our great adventure. This is what we're going to talk about today. And I love to talk about this topic. This idea that the way in which relationships develop our experiences and show God's love to others, this is who we are created to be. This is what our story is all about. And so God's great adventure is about our love in our relationships. Our love in our relationships, this is what makes the biggest difference in the lives of people. When I run across people who have not experienced God's love or haven't experienced the love of God through others, you find them very discouraged, very overwhelmed, very needy, very desperate to be experiencing and feeling the love that God has for them. But I've met others who are incredibly loved by God, and their families love God, and they have completely different outlooks on life because love makes the biggest difference. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about love, and there's lots of the Greek words about love. Some people say there's three. There's actually about five or six or seven. I mean, there's so many translations of so many different words of love, but we're going to talk about a few today. Two of them, the first two are this idea of agape. Everybody hears this word, agape love. There's also a word that plays off that is agapo, and it's the idea is this unconditional love, this ability to show love, to take pleasure in something. This is this agape love, this unconditional, this God-centered love. Here's a verse that has this word in it. If you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, you have to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. This idea of, hey, listen, I've been called as a believer to unconditionally love my enemy who doesn't deserve it. This is what God's love is for us, because we see this in Romans 5:8. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, God's love was unconditional. He loves us no matter what we've done, where we've been. And sometimes we take that love and we redefine it a different way, and we're going to talk about that again in just a second. But these two words, this idea of agape love, unconditional, is throughout the scripture. The other one is phileo. Where we get the word Philadelphia, this idea to love, to be friendly to one, to have brotherly love towards a brother or sister in Christ, or to be more hospitable or show more ambition towards someone. This is described in this verse right here, Matthew 10:37. Whosoever loves his father or more mother more than me, Jesus is speaking, is not worthy of me. And whosoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What is Jesus saying? Listen, I need you to have a passion for me first. This is brotherly love, this love that you should have for me as your leader, the Messiah is going to be done this way. Wow. Think of it this way. Phileo is of the mind, a person's affection for someone or something. Agape is from the heart. It's a deeper and more comprehensive feeling of love, as in a principal duty or a priority or responsibility in our affection for someone else, a responsibility that we live this way. This is what we do. I want you to grasp this idea about love, because Christmas is a time for you to have an opportunity to express God's love. And if you don't really understand it, if you don't grasp what it means, you might miss out. 1 John 4:7 says this about agape love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whosoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In other words, when we can't unconditionally love those who are undeserving of our love, we don't know God, because God unconditionally loved us. And the love that we experience from God unconditionally, which is that we are sinners and fall short of his glory, and yet he still loves us, is the same love we should portray on the world. Wow, can you imagine if our families were full of that kind of love? Overlooking the faults of another, overlooking someone else's struggles. This is what it's all about. Wow. But the truth is this, what happens to us? We don't measure God's love this way. As a matter of fact, when we find ourselves struggling, just about everyone in here room has at some time in life probably said, listen, I don't know that God loves me, man. I've gone through this hurt. I've gone through this pain. I just don't think he's real. I don't feel God's love. I don't think God's love. If God loved me, he would not have done what? X, Y, Z, right? We say, listen, I hear God loves me, but I don't feel God's love. I'm not experiencing God's love. Matter of fact, some of us have defined love as almost like, you know, I think God is a genie in a bottle. When I ask something, I should get it. If God really loved me, he would answer my questions. He would answer my prayers. He would solve my problems. I would have no issues. Everything would be wonderful. But you realize the Bible doesn't promise that kind of love. That's actually not love. It's not even defined in the Bible in that fashion. Listen, we are a people who want to experience love, but we cannot redefine love. Matter of fact, when we define those situations, what we're saying is this. We're not saying God's not a loving God. We're saying God is just not a good God. God's just not a just God. I mean, if God was good, my child wouldn't have cancer. If God was good, this wouldn't have happened to me. I wouldn't have lost my job. If God was a good God, not is God love, but God is not even good. And so we even find ourselves struggling with this reality. Is God good? I'm here to tell you something. God is good, and God is just, and God is love. God has overcome. Listen, the circumstance in your life that you're struggling with, God is with you. God is present. If you're facing cancer, I want you to know God has already won the battle of death. In Christ, there is no death. Death has lost its sting. God is already victorious in your trial. I want you to know something. God will not allow those who have mistreated you to go unpunished. It is his justice, his goodness. Why? Because everyone's going to give an account one day. So when you find yourself battling, loving unconditionally someone else because of what they've done to you, I want you to know something. God's called you to do it because he'll take care of it. Everyone is going to give an account. So when someone mistreats you, you just need to say, yeah, I wouldn't want to be them. They're going to face God someday and drop it off you. Notice this, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14 says, for God will bring every deed into judgment and every secret thing, whether good or evil. Wow. How about this one in Romans 14, 12? So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. 1 Peter 4, 5. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. How about Matthew chapter 12, verse 36? I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by the words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Listen, when you think of God's love, when you think of the trial you're going through, when you think of the struggle you're going through and the battle you're facing about, hey, how do I handle this idea that God is love and yet I'm going through this? I want you to know something. God is love, and God will deal with it. God will deal with it, not you and I, not us. It's not about us at all. As a matter of fact, Paul writes this passage in Romans that just lays it all out for us as we get ready to open up the Christmas story and see how God's love is. You just need to know this, that God is just, God is good, and God is love. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let's read this passage together. It's powerful. It says this, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdoing one another to show honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Notice he doesn't say there is no tribulation. He's like, hey, be patient in tribulation, knowing that God is love and God is good and God is just. He will take care of it. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Ooh, giving to give. I love it. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them. Do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. This is what we do during Christmas time. When someone's lost a loved one and has a tough time right now going through Christmas, it's our job to weep with them. It's our job to recognize that they're going through a tough time. This is what we do. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs, fear the Lord. How about this one? Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. My friend, love, let's define it correctly. If at all possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably to all men. I love people say, oh, I love that passage. That allows me just to live as peaceable as I can until I can't anymore. No, that passage is talking about, hey, listen, if someone else constantly wants to fight against you, do your best to be peaceful with them and let them have the problem. Let it be on them, not on you. Notice this, it says in verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it unto the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay you thee, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he's thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. We don't have time to get into that. And do not overcome evil, be overcome with evil, but overcome with good. My friends, listen. God is good. God is just, and God has called you to a life of relationships to make a beautiful picture of what God's love is to the world. You and I, we have been called to this. 1 John 4:9 says this. How do we know that God is love? How do you and I know that God is love? Well, it's right here. 1 John 4:9 says this. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. Christmas time, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. What is love? Love is Jesus. What is love? A way in which we can be reconciled to the Father. What is love? God has come to the earth to say, listen, I want you. I love you. There is nothing that you can do that can keep you or can separate you from me. If you will follow me, I will forgive you. We will have a love relationship. This is the great adventure. This idea that God loves us and he interacts with us with relationship events. So let's look at this story. What does God want? He wants and desires to have peace with us. He wants a relationship. He wants to walk in the garden just like he did back in the day with Adam and Eve. He wants us to be restored. And so, how do we know this? How do we know that God loves us? We know that he sent his son, but how do we experience it? How do we experience this? How do we actually recognize, and this is great, how do you and I recognize the love that God has through us? For us, through relationships around us. Let's look again at Mary's story. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. This is, again, we're going to read this Christmas story again. We're going to read it from a completely different perspective. I want you to know something, first of all. When you're going through a trial, when you're facing struggle, when you're going through life, God, most of the time, if not all of the time, has put someone in your life to encourage you. He's put someone in your life to remind you that he is still on the throne and you are not. Notice this story. It says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, I just want you to take a second and think of this story completely different. What incredible love the Father had for Mary. What a beautiful picture. God, knowing that what Mary was going to face was overwhelming, sends someone in advance to encourage her, to answer her questions, to guide her, to tell her what's going to happen. He foretells this story. He says, listen, I want you to know this. I want you to keep track of this. I want you to pay attention because I'm going to send this messenger, Gabriel, and he is going to enlighten you. How often in our lives, I can't think of how, they're so numerous. I can't tell you how many times someone has come into my life to encourage me before I enter into a trial of life. I'm going into a time of testing. I'm going to a time of confusion, or maybe I just don't understand, and God will send someone to me just to say, listen, God laid on my heart that I should just be praying for you. I can't tell you how many times on the phone I will get, God just laid you on my heart today. I don't know about you, but I think many of you would also agree with that. How many times have you been driving down the road and somebody's name comes to your mind and you're like, you know what, I just want to pray for them right now. Or I'm just going to pick up the phone and call and say, listen, I don't know why, but God just laid you on my heart. And the other person's like, I can't believe this. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm struggling right now. If you have an experience that I want you to know something, you might want to just pay attention because God's Spirit is moving. Why? Why? Because God is sending the Spirit to us. How does he do this? He does this through the Spirit of God. This is amazing. Let's read John chapter 14 and verse 15. Notice this passage. It says this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Praise God. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Whosoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him. Jesus answered him and says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And he will what? Come to him and make a home with him. These things have I spoken to you while I am sitting with you. Listen, this first person, this person who comes to us is the Holy Spirit. We know that God is present with us because the Spirit is engaging with us. He's going before us. He is living in us, and we witness this power all the time. In verse 26, it says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and peace I give you, not as the world do I give it to you. No, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You see, this story is so beautiful about Mary because God sends the angel and says, listen, I want you to warn Mary. I want you to let her know what's happening. I want you to engage with her. And then after he leaves, he lives a sinless life. He dies on the cross. He says, listen, to his Christians, the believers, listen, if you follow me, I'm going to give you the Spirit. He's going to be the comforter. He's going to come inside of you. He's going to dwell with you. You're going to be my children. We're going to be present with one another. You're never going to be alone. Wow, that is powerful. The Spirit of God. So oftentimes, I believe we as Christians discount the still small voice in our hearts and in our minds. We think, I don't know what that is, or I don't want to listen to that, or whatever. But the truth is, God is always calling. He's always engaging. God's love for you is immense as a believer because the Spirit is within you. But it's not just the Spirit. God loves you so much, he gives you relationships. Now, some of you are going to say this is not good, but he gives us parents, relatives. He gives us parents. He gives us children, friends, mentors, pastors. Why? Because he loves you. God puts people in your life because he loves you, not because they're holding you back from doing all the great things you want to do, teenagers. In your mind, you're like, my parents don't love me. They just won't let me do this. And if you really knew how much they loved you, it says, please don't do that. That's a really bad decision. Right? But so oftentimes in life, we resist the love of God that's demonstrated through the lives of others. Notice this story. So, Gabriel shows up. He tells Mary what's happening. Mary is covered. We talked about that last week. Covered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is dwelling within her. She's a little nervous. She doesn't know what to do. And so she's like, man, this is kind of awkward. What does the Bible say she does next? Luke chapter 1, verse 39 says, in those days, Mary arose and went in haste to the hill country, to the town of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zechariah and was greeted by Elizabeth. Notice she didn't stick around. She's like, listen, the angel just revealed himself to me. I'm overwhelmed. I'm now carrying the child of God. What do I do? I'm going to the hill country. Because the angel said, hey, listen, your aunt is up here. She's going to also have this incredible miracle child, and you should go see her. So she leaves and she goes Maybe she felt like she was all alone. Maybe she felt like, listen, how do I tell Joseph? I don't even know what to say. I don't know how to say this. Now, there's no real record of the order here, but I'm going to put this order a little different than you probably have ever heard it. I'm saying right now, she has heard the angel. She is holding Jesus. She has been carrying the burden, and now she's like, I've got to go talk to someone else. I've got to get away. I need a moment. Have you ever felt that way? I just need a moment. I just gotta get away. And so she gets away. She walks into Mary. Now listen, we have no idea if Mary's first words out of her mouth was, hey, by the way, Elizabeth, I just want you to know I'm carrying Jesus. We have no idea. We have no idea. She might have been scared to death. She's a teenager. She doesn't know what to say. She doesn't know how to say it. She has no idea. She has no idea. But what does God do? God demonstrates his love in the life of relationships outside of ourselves. Notice what happens. This is incredible. Verse 41, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. God went before Mary. And what does she say? And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Can you imagine Mary's face? Like, who told you that? Come on now. We have no idea what Mary's thinking or processing when this happens, but I'm just telling you what. Somebody just shouts out, hey, congratulations, and you're like, I have not told anyone. Matter of fact, not only congratulations, but blessed are you. I know who's with you. You're carrying the Messiah. She had to be blown away. And then in verse 43, it says this, and why is it granted to me that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment that of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Wow. Wow. What an incredible story. God puts in Mary's life a relative. This is, I want to confirm the challenge you're going through, the trial you're facing. I want to celebrate with you that this is not a bad thing. This is a beautiful thing. And God is on the throne. And you, listen, have been chosen above all other women. What an incredible encouragement she is facing. What a beautiful thing. You see, God uses people in our families to encourage us, to tell us that, listen, you're not alone. You can do this. But the problem is we have a choice like Mary. We can reject the idea and we can say, listen, I'm still embarrassed or I got a deal. Who knows what's going through in Mary's heart? But she is overwhelmed with joy as God is revealing to her the truth and more about herself in this beautiful picture of Christmas. I'm asking you, do you see God's work in your challenge, in your life, in your great adventure that other people see for you? They're like, listen, man, God is going to use you. This is going to be beautiful. I know it looks ugly right now. I know you're confused right now, but God is in this. I want you to know something, that God is in this. If you don't hear anything today, hear God is in your life. He is part of your adventure. God's desire is for you to thrive in your moment, to give him glory. And this is where Mary was at. And this is why, guys, this is why we live. This is why we're in the adventure of God. We have been designed for this. Designed. Notice what Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8 says. But the Lord goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I want you to understand God is with us, and God works through relationships that you don't even understand nor know. He's moving in your life. Joshua 1:9 says this, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, God is with you. God is in the relationships around you. God is working not just in you, but in everyone around you. And if they're listening and they're tuning in and they're paying attention and they're focusing on Christ, guess what? The word of God just comes to you. Fills you, encourages you. But he doesn't just in there in this story. I mean, think about this lineup. She finishes with Elizabeth. She's like, listen, I have no idea what I'm about to say. I got to tell Joseph. Now, again, I'm telling you a different order you probably never thought about. But what if she's now thinking, okay, I've been over here in Judea. I've been encouraged. I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to talk to Joseph. I'm going to finally share with him. We know that this happened in verse Luke 1:56. It says this, and Mary remained there about 3 months and then returned home. So here she goes. She goes home. Now the question is this. Like, how do I tell Joseph this story? Now, everybody in the house today is going, this is awkward. Let's read the story. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, different book. That's why we don't know the order. Here we go. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Notice this. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So Mary returns and she says, listen, Joseph, I just want you to know that I'm a child with the Son of God. And he's like, oh, yeah. I'm just imagining all of you who are dating or all of you who remember back when you were engaged and if you would have come home and your wife said, hey, hon, by the way, you know, I know we have not been intimate, but every guy's like, yeah, right. That's right. I mean, let's just put ourselves in Joseph's shoes. He's like, this is crazy talk. But what's amazing is Joseph's response. Even in the midst of the craziness of the crisis, even though he is personally being hurt, he has compassion. He resolves in his heart to divorce her quietly. He's like, listen, I love her, and I don't know what's going on, and I don't understand what's happening, but I love her. He was a just man, a gracious man, a kind man. He didn't want justice. He didn't want to take her out and stone her. He's like, listen, no. I love this woman. Even though I don't understand what's happening, I want you to know something. God works in relationships like that. God works in relationships like that. When we ourselves are tender and have been hurt in a circumstance that someone else is facing, and this is Joseph's story, God intervenes. God intervenes. He shows his love again through other people. And then this situation, for Joseph, an angel. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel, the Lord, appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Son, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken of the prophet. Again, this is an amazing truth. Not only for Joseph to be obviously told by the angel, but think about Mary. God, again, is going before Mary in her trial. He's already done it with the angel, then he's done it with Elizabeth, and now he does it with Joseph. So what does Joseph mean? Well, now she doesn't have to carry the shame of this child out of wedlock because Joseph's going to marry her anyway. They're going to be one. She's going to avoid so much embarrassment. God has said, listen, I'm going to take care of this situation, Mary. You don't need to worry about these things because I'm telling you, those around you who love me love you. Can that be said of the church today? That those who are finding themselves in difficult situations outside these walls, God, like, listen, I got this because I know those who are hearing my word love me and they love you. And they're going to act appropriately. I'm afraid, unfortunately, that doesn't happen as often as it should. God has called them. God has called us to be that picture. God is going before us. God is moving in the lives of others. God is engaging in the lives of each and every one of you. And I don't know the combination of all those things, but I know that every time someone engages me and says, listen, I just want to encourage you, or hey, by the way, I want to tell you something, or hey, the Lord laid this on my heart, I want you to know something. God is moving. And every time you hear the voice of the Lord and do not share that with those around you who you can encourage, I want you to know something. You're missing out on being the love of God. Because listen, Joseph could have said like, I don't know what kind of nightmare I had last night, but that's just crazy talk. How many times has God laid on our heart and we're like, that's just ridiculous. That's just not real. That's not going to happen. That's not right. I think often. What's amazing about God is his love for you is so incredible. He even uses complete strangers to lay on their heart to bless you. Just so you know. God is not limited by the relationships you know. God is not limited by the husband, the wife, the children, the pastor, whoever, us. God can use crazy people, like in Mary's story. I mean, let's just face it, this next story is crazy. What does God do to show his love for Mary? Well, if you have your Bible, just turn to Matthew 2, chapter 2. 2:2, here he goes. We're going to skip a bunch here, but here we go. The wise men. What were they asking? They're like, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw a star and he rose when it rose and have come to worship him. Jump down to verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going to the house, they saw a child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know about you, but when was the last time somebody knocked on your door and said, hey, by the way, I know what you're going through. I know you don't know me, but I'm here to be a blessing to you. This is the love of God. This is the kind of love that God has. An unconditional, amazing, unbelievable love. This kind of love is what this church wants to be known for. We want to be a church who listens to the Word of God, who pays attention to the Spirit of God. And when God and the Spirit moves you to engage someone in complete strangeness, I don't care if it's in the mall, I don't care where it's at, I don't care if it's just Merry Christmas, I'm telling you, God uses strangers. God uses strangers to blow people's mind and demonstrate his incredible love. Why do you think we're doing this campaign, Giving to Give? We are helping complete strangers, missionaries, pastors in the middle of nowhere, Alaska, that you don't want to be and you know I don't want to be, who have given their lives to serve Jesus, who have think sometimes they're all alone. Where is God? Why am I struggling? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? And God has a plan. It's called Mountain City Church. We are going to bless them. We're going to encourage them. You're going to encourage them. Why? Because God has called us to pay attention to what's going on around us. Listen, the wise men were paying attention. They saw the star and they're like, that's odd. I think Daniel about 300 years ago said something about this. Let's look into that. I want you to know God is moving. God is working through us. This Giving to Give campaign is a classic example, but it's not limited to that. You and I, when we are in tune with the Spirit, when we are obeying the Word of God, when we find ourselves in love with Jesus, God reveals to us people to love on. And Mary, man, Mary got to experience this. Complete strangers show up at her door giving her wealth and say, listen, we know this is the Son of God. And I want you to know something. The message of the gospel, it didn't end in the manger. The message of the gospel is right here, right now. In every time you engage, every time you get involved, every time you impart a little bit of encouragement, when you overlook someone's offense towards you and love on them anyway. You are the messenger of God. You are the love of God. You are an example of Christ coming to this earth. And this is part of our great adventure. Matter of fact, I would say it's the greatest part of our great adventure. And if we would live in this moment, we have no idea what God will do with us and for us and through us. But you got to be willing. You got to be willing. You can't say things like, I don't have time. You can't say things like, somebody else will do it. You can't say, dollar's okay. No, you got to say, listen, I want to be as special as the wise men were to Jesus. I want to make an impact in the lives of complete strangers who love God, who just need encouragement, who just need a little pick-me-up, who just need to hear like Mary did, praise the Lord, someone's looking out for me. Again, remember, she's just been told that evening somebody's coming to kill her child in this moment. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are. But I want to encourage you. I want to tell you you're not alone. If you're listening by television or you're in this auditorium, I want you to know this message is for you. God loves you. God has placed me here for this moment to tell you God loves you. Think about that. Now think of your story and the complexities to it and why you interact and interface with someone and say, this is a God moment. Let's not blow it. Let's not look past it. Let's get our eyes off ourselves and realize God is love and he's working through you. This great adventure, this life of hope in a promise, this great adventure, these challenges that we face that mold us and develop us into Christ-centered world changers, this love of God that displays to us that we make a big deal about following Jesus is a beautiful and wonderful adventure that ends in an incredible climax that we're going to celebrate next weekend as we realize that God not only does these wonderful things, but he has crazy conclusions to our great adventure. Things we never expected. That's what God does because he is a miracle worker. And he loves you. So let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as we close today. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you're here today and the hope of Christ is not something you've experienced, you do not understand the love of God because you're hearing it for the very first time, or maybe it just became clear to you, I want you to know something, that God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus, and that is what Christmas is all about. He says this, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's like, listen, I know your sin. I know your separation. I know there's a gap between you and me, but I'm filling that gap with my son Jesus, and he loves you. If you're here today and you would love to give your life to Jesus, be restored in relationship with him, live a life of forgiveness and have eternity in heaven and avoid that awful place called hell, this is the day, this is the time, this is the moment to experience the love of God. Just a prayer in your heart declaring that he is Lord and you are not. Asking for forgiveness. Coming to acknowledge him as Lord, Savior. Would you do that today? In your heart, in just a minute of prayer time, will you do that today? But for the rest of us, my challenge to you is, are you missing out on the love of God? First, are you missing out because you're not being the love of God? And number two, your eyes have been blinded and you don't see those around you loving on you. You're not paying attention to the warnings that God's sending you or the relationships that God has sent you because he loves you. It's prayer time. It's time for us to truly challenge ourselves and ask, is God real? Is he good? Is he just? And is he love? And I would dare say, yes. Yes. For some of you, it's prayer time. You need to come down and just start praying and ask God to intervene in the lives of your loved ones. Some who are struggling with cancer. Some who are struggling with life. This is prayer time. This is a time for us to meet God. Will you join me? God loves you. He wants to use you. Will you allow him to?